Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. That is Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today is a foster and adoptive dad, Chuck Verdin of Starfish Ministry, a California-based ministry on a mission to educate, encourage, and equip individuals and families to make a difference one child at a time. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Oh, thank you for having me. And if I would, my wife, Donna, is a huge part. She couldn't be here today, but I definitely want to include her as a huge, huge part of our ministry.
Absolutely. We're just grateful for all that you and Donna are doing there in California on behalf of children in foster care and foster and adoptive families, and just providing a tremendous resource to the church there in this arena. So we're grateful for all you're doing, and we can't wait to talk about it and share it with our listeners. Yeah. But let's start sort of at your beginning, Chuck. What led you and Donna to establish this ministry?
You know, question. And really, you know, we weren't equipped. We don't have a background in ministry. My wife, she's a nurse. My background's in engineering. But we really just kind of started out of our own need. And you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not from Southern California. So we didn't have a lot of family out here. And really, we came out here, and God was calling us to a foster care, and we were hesitant to enter into it because we didn't know, and we didn't have that community around us. We didn't have the church didn't really have a ministry or anything to lean on, so we just didn't know. So we're really kind of hesitant, and so kind of like Jonah, we ran from it for a while. Mm-hmm. But eventually, God was tugging on our hearts, and we submitted the paperwork, and we got licensed. And we got our first placement, it was a little girl. We eventually later adopted. She's our oldest daughter now, and we just, you know, it's just been such a miracle. She's truly just a miracle that we get to live with every day. And we entered into it not knowing, but we just trusted God to equip us along the way. And so we were just willing. So we really started out of our own need. And in our first placement, she was an extreme case of abuse and neglect. And I'm not going to get into the details of her story, because I always believe it's her story to tell.
Sure.
But needless to say, it was one of the worst cases of abuse in Southern California in the last 30 years, according to investigators and all those who were involved, the professionals. So she just had a lot of need. And we didn't know what to do. And so we went to the church. That we were at the time, they didn't really have anything. So we ended up coming to Hillside here, and they didn't have anything at the time, but they said, hey, you can start something. We're like, well, that's better than nothing. So we did, and you know, God does what he does, and he's grown it. But if I could maybe tell just a quick story of our youngest daughter, or our oldest daughter,
yes,
who
please.
Came to us first, you know, and that really kind of galvanized us because we could see God's impact. So when she came to us, or they called us on a Monday afternoon. So we got licensed on Friday, and they called us on a Monday, and they said, you know, they basically told me, like, hey, She's had such trauma and such abuse that she would basically throw up any time a man would enter her hospital room. So she had been in the hospital for about 3 weeks. She was not quite 2 years old. and that she was so terrified and had been endured such trauma that she would oftentimes, you know, vomit when a male doctor or a male investigator would enter a room. And, you know, Donna and I, we said yes, and we didn't know what we were doing. We just trusted God to, and honestly, like, I didn't even think about that part. We were thinking about, oh, she had a lot of brain trauma, so we're thinking, oh, does she have seizures and, like, that sort of stuff. And then it wasn't until I was on my way to the hospital when they said we could see her that I was thinking, all right, God, how am I going to parent this little girl if I can't even enter the room?
Yeah.
I was going there. It was actually the hospital that Donna worked at. It was kind of one of those prayers that you kind of throw up, you know, and just kind of like, hey, God, hope this works. I was praying on the way there, and I said, God, you know, if she's you shouldn't test God, but it was one of those prayers that I just said, God, if she's meant to be our little girl, could she possibly maybe give me a hug, you know, kind of thing? And so it was one of those things that didn't have a lot of faith behind it, but, you know, God heard my prayer. And so we went up there, and the nurses kind of gathered around. We went to her hospital room, and the nurses had been taking care of her for a number of weeks, so they were pretty attached to her a little. They were trying to dress her up and whatnot, and because they knew that we were coming. And so they kind of gathered around. They handed her to Donna, and she went to Donna pretty easy. And she was on Donna's hip, and she kind of looked around Donna. I was kind of to Donna's left, and she was on Donna's right hip, and she kind of looked around the side of Donna, and she looked me up and down, and then she, like, threw up her little arms for me to pick her up, and I scooped her up, and she gave me a hug. And and it was just, you know, the nurses were crying, and it was nothing that we did. We just started praying for her, you know, and so we just, you know, and then her story is just a miracle from there. Like, now she's 7 years old, and, like, you would never be able to pick her out of a crowd of, you know, and say, like, oh, who's the 7 year old that had this background? And you would never be able to pick her out of the crowd. Now, she still has a lot of issues, and, you know, we see therapists and stuff like that. But knowing her, you know, all the trauma and all the really the torture that she endured, it's just she's a little miracle. And in that, we, you know, when we entered her life, it was just like a firestorm. It was engulfing her little life. And we just felt like God was calling us to enter that fire, enter her little life that was just burning down, kind of like a holy, I kind of relate it to being like a holy fireman. Like, God clothes us in the suit of righteousness, and he's calling us to enter into that little life that's burning down and walk him through that fiery trial. And now we've seen how God can impact, you know, alive, she, you know, when God's people just show up, he can just impact their little lives in so important ways, you know, because we're bringing God into the mix. And so, from her little story, she's what we call our first starfish, and it was a very dramatic and very hard year after that, and we really needed support. In that, we kind of started our ministry, you know, knowing, like, what we needed when we were going through that process. And then, you know, even before the foster care, before we started that, you know, just all the stuff that we needed, that information, that support, that love, that encouragement, you know, that ability to come into a room and people just get it. They understand where you're at and where you've been. And so out of our own need, we really kind of started the ministry from that. But we also saw how impactful it is on these little lives when God's people show up with a willing heart.
Yeah, amen to that. And you actually fostered and then adopted another little girl because you have a younger daughter too. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and she's a great story too. And we actually just finalized her adoption earlier this month. And she came to us drug exposed, and, you know, just how God works too. Like, we said, oh, no alcohol exposure. We didn't want that. And then we didn't want drugs or alcohol exposure, and God called us with this little meth and heroin and marijuana and alcohol exposure, you know, all in utero. And we're like, oh, gosh. But at the same time, we knew God was calling us to it. So we said yes, and relationships matter so much. And there's research that shows, like, carrying around in a little kangaroo pouch really helped heal some of her the impacts from the drugs had on her little brain. So it was so she's been a great story too of just healing and what God can do. And so so she's now 2 years old and she's running around, and it's just been really cool too to see how God's brought healing to our oldest daughter through our youngest daughter too, where our oldest daughter is about the age that our youngest daughter is about the age that our oldest daughter was when she came to us.
Wow.
And so our oldest daughter's just been able to process a lot of the things that she wasn't able to do when she was a baby. Like we taught our oldest daughter how to play, and because you don't think about having to teach a child how to play or how to say no or you know, but if you're living kind of like, you imagine like a war zone almost, where you know it's not safe to play, it's not
right.
You know, you have a hard time you know even doing anything but survive. And so so now, you know, having our youngest daughter there these last couple of years has really brought a lot of healing to our oldest daughter. She's been able to process, you know, some of the things that she did, you know, those implicit memories that she, you know, really needed to understand and really have that that understanding of what an infancy should look like, you know.
Right.
And so, so our youngest daughter has just been an awesome little miracle too, and God just blessed us with an awesome family, just in His divine way.
Wonderful. So out of your own family's need for support, and there wasn't a church around that had those kind of supports, you established Starfish Ministry. So tell us about the work of Starfish. How do you now support other families who are fostering and adopting?
Yeah, and that's really kind of, you know, like, again, we didn't know ministry, but I feel like God just calls the willing, and he equips us along the way. And so really just started off, our goal overall now that we've grown the ministry, it's been around, we've had it, we started about 3 years ago. And so our goal is really that every child would have a home and every family would have that support and love and encouragement until there's more than enough families to provide a home and a family for every child in the system. So we do that in a few ways. So we kind of have a process, basically. So if you think about it, we try to move people from nothing to curious, and from curious to what we call called, so where they're engaged in some way. So the process that we do is we try to have awareness events that breed that curiosity. So different ways we do that, through serve opportunities at our church and in the local community, helping group homes or having like drives, like backpacks for back to school. And also a lot of these kids in foster care, especially the older kids, they carry their stuff from, you know, sometimes they get moved from different placements, from different homes, and they just have their stuff in a trash bag. So so what we try to do is we'll have a backpack drive for school. So it's kind of a twofold gift, where they have school supplies, but then they'll also use a backpack to carry their stuff around if they have to move, but it's theirs, you know, and they don't feel, you know, like something being thrown away, so to speak. So it just gives them a sense of they're valued. But you can have drives like that, backpack drives, or like Christmas gifts for kiddos, especially the transitional age youth, those kids that are a little bit older that are in the system. So having drives like that builds awareness. And then another big thing is telling the stories of foster parents and adoption and you know, just how God's changing lives through this arena. So, and then information sessions. So those are all great ways, and there's a lot of different ways. Those are just a few examples. Build awareness, and that breeds that curiosity. And then from that, we try to get people connected in some way. So we encourage the curiosity through awareness events, and then we have maybe a class, like an orientation We call it a curious class to help them understand foster care a little bit and then help them understand the opportunity, like becoming a mentor or maybe volunteering to support a foster family, because a lot of times we need that love and that encouragement and support of our church family that we trust and that we know and trust. And then, or maybe even becoming a foster parent. And so I kind of call it the baby step model. And so we want to recruit people to be good families from the church to become foster parents. But we also know, like, going from zero to foster parent can be a huge leap. So maybe becoming a volunteer first and volunteering to support a foster family, bringing a meal, running some errands, maybe doing some child care for them can be so huge for us. Because we're dealing with so many things beyond just raising the child, all the logistics of going to therapy sessions, having visitations with the biological family. So just that support of the community around us can be so huge. So we try to get people connected. And then the last part is equipping and supporting the foster family. And really how we started our ministry was with a support class. We call it the Connections class. And what we'll do is it provides a community where people just are known, they're loved, they're around others who are going through the same thing. And a lot of times you'll hear that me too, or that, oh, I'm going through that too. Mm. And just so they know that they're not alone. So, and then we also provide some, in that Connections class, the support class, a little bit of trauma-informed tools for the parents, and that comes from the Karen Purvis Institute. A great Empowered to Connect is a great resource to help equip parents. Mm. And then out of that, we started to build what we call care communities. And those are groups of 6 to 8 volunteers who come around a foster family for about 12 months at a time and really provide that tangible support. And what we see in that is, like, a lot of times those volunteers will love on those families, and then the volunteers themselves will become foster parents a lot of times too. But there's some great ways to start that. Promise 686, we use a lot of their curriculum for those care communities. That's a great way to do it. And now our next steps are we just started clinics to help other churches build what we call FAMs, foster and adoption ministries, in their church, you know, and basically trying to learn from our experiences and really just build that coalition, that Big C church, where we're encouraging each other and building ministries that are geographically dispersed and where families can go to their own church where they know and they love and they trust that community to find that support and encouragement.
That's a great idea. Yeah, for families to, no matter where they are in the process, to be able to plug into their own church support system. So I love that you're, you know, actually inspiring other churches to launch this type of ministry. So, Chuck, what have you learned along the way in establishing a foster and adoption ministry? What mistakes have you made? What have you learned?
Oh, man. Yeah. I think that alone could take up the whole time, just the mistakes that we made. The short version is that, one, I would really encourage anybody that's thinking about starting a foster ministry. One is, like, you don't have to have a background in ministry. Like, God equips those he calls. Mm. So if you're feeling it and if you're seeing, like, the need in your community, then I would say he's probably calling you to do it. And don't wait. You know, Donna and I, we waited, and you know, I feel like God was calling us. And, you know, his timing's perfect, but I would say don't wait. But the other thing, too, is, like, understand, like, it's spiritual warfare that you're entering into. And we weren't fully cognizant of that at the time, but Ephesians 6 talks about, you know, that spiritual warfare. And then the way we fight our spiritual battles, you know, is also in Ephesians 6, where we're putting on the full armor of God. I feel like that's so important to really understand it, is that we fight our spiritual battles on our knees. That's how we bring God into the mix. But, like, when you enter into the foster care and adoption arena, it's such a stronghold that Satan has in these areas, and the breakdown of the family. It's so prevalent. And when God's people show up, and we shine God's light in this really dark place, then, you know, Satan's going to attack. But he's not omnipresent. Right. God is.
That's right.
And so that's where, you know, Satan's more powerful than us, but he's not more powerful than God. And so we I fully believe, like putting on that full armor of God daily and praying it for your ministry, praying it for your families that are around you, praying for your church, your own family, yourself, because he's going to attack, you know, where you're most vulnerable. But those are just overall a couple other things is the, you know, because there's so much need, people who are thinking about maybe starting a ministry, or maybe they're to stay focused, like define where's that lane that God's calling you to, and as you're, especially when you're starting a ministry, is to really stay focused, like define what the mission is and really stay focused on it. If it's to recruit more foster families, kind of stay focused, or to support the foster families that are in your church, like really stay focused on that, and then let God kind of grow it from there. And then having a team, like we really learned that too, like having a team that's not your own clone. Like you don't want to recruit people who are just like you. You want to identify your own weaknesses and strengths, and recruit people to help lead the ministry who are balance you out, basically.
Yeah.
The last point, or maybe last 2 points, would be developing that system and process of onboarding volunteers, because it's going to be a natural outflow. Like when you start a ministry in your church, it's going to be people are going to want to help. And so to have that process of how to onboard them, how to get them involved, you know, like that, that's why those care communities are so so valuable, where it's an easy structure to get people trained and involved and equipped. And the other thing I would say is building that support network with your local Department of Family Services, and to really understand their needs and really focus your energy and support, building that relationship with them is always an important part.
Yeah, that is all excellent advice for starting any ministry, and especially a foster and adoptive ministry, which we really want to see every church have that, a culture of foster care and adoption in their church, serving vulnerable children and families. So, Chuck, what is on your heart that you want to make sure our listeners hear? What should their takeaway be from our conversation today?
I would just say that God just needs a willing soul to get started. We didn't know much about foster care, but we were just willing. And we didn't know anything about ministry. We were just willing. And just trusting that God's not going to show you, like, the next 20 steps. He's just going to show you the next step to take. And as you're faithful to take that step, he'll show you the step to take after that. And honestly, like, looking back, had God shown me the next 20 steps he was going to take me on, I don't know that I would have even gotten out of the boat.
Yeah.
But just being willing. And the other thing I would say is just understand that love is a choice. It's a choice we make. And a lot of times it's a sacrificial choice. And I think that once that sacrificial spirit's ignited in, like, the early church, you know, it's ignited in the hearts of God's people, I truly believe that it'll kind of burn forth like that holy fire for God's glory, and it'll become contagious in our local community. And it just takes that willing soul to fan the flames in our local community and God will do the rest.
Yeah. Put your yes on the table and trust him for those next steps. But we have to be willing, and we have to engage. So very good advice. And we only have about another minute for this next question, but I wanted to kind of go back to you fostered and adopted your two little girls. And then I know you also fostered a little boy. So just in about 1 minute's time, can you tell us that story?
Sure. There was just before we started the Starfish Ministry, there's a little boy came to us. And he ended up having to go back to his biological family, and that's the one thing we hear the most is like, oh, I just couldn't see a child go back to maybe a toxic environment or something like that. And I would just say, it hurts. There's no doubt, but it's a sacrificial love. And if we avoided all the relationships that might hurt, then what relationship will we ever enter into? But it's more important to focus on, like, planting that seed and rather than anticipating the loss. And a lot of times what we've seen, too, is, like, is accepting their biological parents when it's safe, with safe boundaries, can have a huge impact on their lives. Because when you enter into foster care, you go into it thinking like you're helping a child from a broken place. What you see is like it's a family that's broken. And a lot of times it's generation after generation. And so it'll hurt, but we've seen it, and there's many stories I could tell on biological families coming to know Christ through the interaction of their foster family, with the foster family of one of their little ones. And so you just never know how God's going to work. And you can have an impact on their little lives, even little ones that may not remember. You know, in the first year of life, they learn how to trust. They learn how to attach. And, you know, just those seeds that you can plant that to love them and encourage their little lives can impact them for eternity, yeah. Even if it's just a temporary time. But it's going to hurt. But at the same time, Christ came and he knew it was going to hurt. And so we kind of live that out sometimes as foster parents, I think.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Chuck. I know our listeners can learn more at starfishministry.org. Your ministry is also on Facebook and Instagram at Starfish Ministry. Thank you again, Chuck, for all that you're doing on behalf of children and families there in California. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you for having us.
It was an honor. So I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and thank you for listening today. You can find more episodes of Orphans No More on our website at justicefororphansny.org or on iTunes and Google Play by searching for the show by name, Orphans No More. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Every 25th follower gets a free bag of Greater Things Roasters coffee. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. JFO is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls, be it adoption, foster care, orphan care, even care portal. To learn more, contact us at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.